A Curious Pacific Wave, presented by Science at NASA. Last month, a massive swell of warm water crossed the Pacific Ocean and buffeted South America. Was it the first sign of a new El Niño, or just another Kelvin wave? March 5, 2002. Somewhere on a beach in Ecuador or Peru, someone is out for a stroll. A warm breeze is blowing, water laps at their feet. It's paradise. But something is amiss. The air is a bit warmer than usual, so is the water, and, for weeks now, tides have been cresting a few inches higher. Maybe only frequent beach walkers would notice the difference, but the changes are real. These countries have just been hit by a gentle yet massive swell of warm water, a so-called Kelvin wave. Kelvin waves are warm bumps in the Pacific Ocean, says JPL oceanographer Bill Patzert. They form around Indonesia and travel east toward the Americas. A typical Kelvin wave is 5 or 10 centimeters high, hundreds of kilometers wide, and a few degrees warmer than surrounding waters. Usually not much happens when a Kelvin wave arrives. Beachcombers experience a bit of extra rain, perhaps, and a slightly warmer surf. Nevertheless, scientists pay careful attention to them because these gentle waves occasionally herald something far more powerful, the next El Niño. El Niños and Kelvin waves are both triggered by winds, or a lack thereof, in the Pacific Ocean. Patzert explains, Pacific trade winds blow from the east, the Americas, to west, Indonesia. The persistent breeze pushes sun-warmed surface waters westward, and as a result, the sea level near Indonesia is normally 45 centimeters higher than it is near Ecuador. We call that part of the ocean near Indonesia the warm pool. It's the biggest area of warm water on our planet, says David Adamek, a climate researcher at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. The pool heats the atmosphere above the western Pacific, where convection cells spawn thunderstorms, lightning, and plenty of rain. Sometimes the trade winds falter for a few days or weeks, researchers aren't sure why, and warm water slides back across the Pacific toward the Americas. That's a Kelvin wave, says Patzert. We see at least one of them every northern winter. El Niño begins when trade winds falter, not just briefly, but for many months. Then, says Patzert, strong Kelvin waves cross the Pacific like a conveyor belt, depositing warm water near South America, where the ocean is normally cold. This new warm pool alters weather all over our planet. Rains that would normally soak the western Pacific shift toward the Americas, while places like Australia, Indonesia, and India become dry. Some people welcome the change. The last El Niño in 1997 suppressed Atlantic hurricanes, lowered winter heating bills in New England, and drew surfers to suddenly warm beaches in California. Sled dogs in the Sierra Nevada enjoyed extra sledding when it snowed in June. Others dread it. Coastal villagers in South America fled torrential rains in 1997 that washed away their homes. Many were ready to leave anyway to escape record swarms of mosquitoes that bred in standing pools. Meanwhile, normally wet places like Australia and Indonesia were hit by terrible droughts and wildfires. El Niño can do a lot of damage, acknowledges Patzert, but it's not all bad. For example, farmers can profit from changing weather patterns by cultivating El Niño crops. Rice and beans could be planted in areas normally too dry to support them, for instance. But such is only possible if growers know when El Niño is coming. Scientists have developed computer models that do a good job forecasting El Niño's effects after El Niño is underway. The hard part, says Adamek, is predicting when El Niño will begin. Indeed, life would be easier if El Niño came and went on a regular schedule, but the interval between El Niños varies unpredictably from 3 to 7 years, another mystery for researchers. Because the last one began in 1997, the next could begin as early as this year or as late as 2004. No one knows. After the El Niño of 1982-83 took forecasters by surprise, the United States, Japan, and France strung 70 buoys across the equatorial Pacific. Called the Tau Array, these buoys monitor water temperature to a depth of 500 meters, as well as winds, air temperature, and relative humidity. They are designed to be an early warning system for El Niño. El Niño warnings also come from the U.S.-French Topex Poseidon satellite. It can measure the height of the ocean surface by pinging it with an onboard radar. Warm water expands, so Kelvin waves appear as traveling bumps in the satellite's sea surface elevation maps. Both Tau and Topex Poseidon have tracked the latest Kelvin wave since it formed in the western Pacific in December 2001. The wave crossed the ocean in January and reached South America in February, says Passard. Not all Kelvin waves managed to cross the vast Pacific, but this one did. It reminds Passard of another notable Kelvin wave. It looks a lot like one that crossed the Pacific in early 1997, just before the last El Niño, he recalls. Does this mean another El Niño is near? Not necessarily, he says. Kelvin waves appear in the Pacific every winter. They don't all mean El Niño is coming. Adamic agrees. It's too soon to say. The real test will be what happens this spring. If the conveyor belt starts turning as it did in 1997, then we will know El Niño is back. For now, scientists must watch and wait. We're always watching the Pacific anyway, laughs Passard. It's the biggest thing on our planet. And that, of course, is why Kelvin waves matter. This story was written and read by Tony Phillips and presented by Science at NASA. To find more Science at NASA stories on the Internet, please visit science.nasa.gov.